Adel,
yes.
Are we living in prophetic times?
No, Kathy, why would you think such a thing?
I mean, there's a guy in the Netherlands who is convinced. He's a very religious Christian man.
Yes.
And he's convinced that the Netherlands is going to be flooded, which is actually quite a likely possibility.
Yes.
So he's built an exact replica of Noah's Ark. Life size. It's bigger than a cruise ship, so that he can sail to the Holy Land.
You know, what I laughed. You remember the movie? I think it was it the year 2000 or 2012? When was the Mayan calendar supposed to? It was a couple of years ago.
2013, I think.
Yeah, whatever. They made a movie about how like it actually happened. Armageddon happened, and the whole of the Northern Hemisphere got flooded. And the storyline is that 3,000 very rich people invested a lot of money and built a Noah's Ark. And
but there is a ship like that.
Yes, there is. But so they built something that would actually survive themselves. They could grow plants like it was completely thing. And then Armageddon hits, and they all those 3,000 people climb onto the boat, and the rest of the Northern Hemisphere is completely wiped out. And there's like the survivors off. They float, and you see them, you know, going on the turbulent waters. And suddenly the Ark finds a place to rest. And where did it land? The Drakensberg. I started laughing. I said, well, we don't have to invest in anything. We'll just take a 3-hour car ride to the Royal National Park. We'll meet them. There will be the greeting committee. It was hilarious at the end. That's where they landed, in the Southern Hemisphere, in the Drakensberg. So
how come the Southern Hemisphere didn't have – I mean, like, we apparently need water. Just ask any Cape Townian.
Don't ask me. But anyway, it was a pretty good storyline.
And on a more serious note – when we look at the prophecies, there are a number of nations who are mentioned. One of the last shows that we did, in fact, I can't even remember if it was me or Howard, because sometimes we feel like the same person. But there was it was just before Donald Trump made the announcement about Iran. Mm. And you were talking about how the princes of, I don't know, some country were going to side with the Jews or with Israel, and that's exactly what happened that night after Trump said that he's not going to, so he's basically tossing the Iran deal. The king of Saudi Arabia comes out, Saudi Arabia, and he tweets how he is supporting Donald Trump's move. So it started me thinking, which nations are which nations? Do we know? Which nations can we reference today? How do you know this?
I don't know this, but you can just learn in Chumash. In fact, on Mondays when I'm teaching Bereshit, we're actually getting to that very part right now where we're following the lineage from Adam through Noah and then how the nations of the world, evolved. Now, we know that Noah had three sons. He had Shem, Ham, and Yafet. Now, Shem was the righteous guy. And what happens with him, if you follow the lineage, from Shem down 10 generations, you'll come to Abraham, right? And Abraham fathers the Jewish nation, but he also fathers what we know as the Arab world, Ishmael.
Right.
Okay, and we always keep on saying we're half brothers. You know, we're actually coming from.
So our cousins are the Arabs, not the Muslims. They're not one and the same. Right?
You know, I don't know how pedantic to get. All I can tell you is that the Arab world, Ishmael. maybe you could put into there the Muslims. Like I'm not talking about geographical like changes right now.
Yeah.
But we source ourselves back from Abraham, and then. We also know that further down the line, after Abraham comes Yitzchak, after Yitzchak comes Yaakov. Yaakov again has a twin brother Esav, okay, who also was supposed to be part of going, the lineage going back to Abraham. And we understand from Torah literature that is the nation of Edom, which now has become the Christian nation or the Western world. So, in a very, very basic level, we have the Jewish world, the Arab world, and the Christian world. Okay, we have Western civilization, Eastern civilization, Mid-Eastern civilization, and we have the Jews. And those are the three dominant, you know, nations that have come together over history. You know,
it's quite ironic when you consider, you know, if you look at like the West, as you in the context of which you're speaking, and the Gentile nations or the Christian nations, you're talking about massive number of people.
Yeah.
If you look at the Arab world, or even the Muslim world, a massive number of people. And you have this tiny little Jewish people. How can the Jewish people also be a role player in amongst these other giants?
That's the battle of society, right? Of history, is that's how things happen. In the beginning, God didn't, I wouldn't say anticipate. He did anticipate, but the way man brought out the you know how civilization was to happen was that everybody was to recognize God. But between Adam and Noah, and then again between Noah and Abraham, we're talking about 20 generations. We're talking close on 2,000 years, okay, you'll see that people kept on forgetting God, going into idolatry and adultery and just, you know, beating their own drum, building towers, trying to overcome God. And there were few, shame, from Noah down to Abraham, okay, there were a few of them in that biblical lineage that still recognized God. So now we land up with a paradigm where God says, I've got to have like a couple of guys, like certain thing, just reminding the world about what morality and integrity is all about. So that's the scenario we have today. We have an itty bitty, you know, 0.001% of the world population, and we are the world's conscience. And that really explains why this world of billions of people are so hung up about such a small place that's not bigger than the size of the Kruger National Park. Why we are targets everywhere, not only today, but 100 years ago and 1,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago, because we are the spiritual conscience of the world. And we're trying to bring back humanity, because the vision of a messianic period for us is not that we're converting everybody. It's not that all people have to die. It's that the whole world has to know God. And that's what we're trying to say. We're not going out and saying you have to believe in something else, or you have to die, or we're going to kill you because you're not part of our redemptive process. In fact, the whole world is part of the redemptive process, because the God is for everybody, not just for the Jew. But the Jew is that conscious voice that's saying,
this is the right thing, this and this is the wrong thing.
And every time.
So that's,
you know,
interesting. That's so interesting. You know who understood that very well?
Mm.
It's Adolf Hitler, Yamach Shamo.
Yeah.
He actually understood that Jews were the consciousness of the world, the conscience of the world, better than most Jews do today.
Across the Arabs, not the Arabs, the Greeks, the Romans, the Persians, the Turks, you name it. We've had the Adolf Hitlers, you know, the Purim story. The story keeps repeating itself. The stupidity is we keep on doing the same thing. You know what I mean? It says, you know, when are you insane? When you keep on doing the same thing, expecting a different response.
Okay, what would elicit a different response? What should we be doing differently as a Jewish people, Adel?
I think we need to stand up. We need to stand strong. We need to stand proud.
And we need to be moral.
You know, somebody said to me on my show yesterday, do you still support Trump? Is he a good example for children? And I replied like, hello, I don't look at Trump, you know, as a model. That already fundamentally is the wrong way to think. As a Jew, what is my moral compass? It's the Torah. It's the blueprint. It's the architectural plans that God gave us for this world. That's going to tell me how it is that I should behave so that I could be a good example. Trump, he's a pawn of God. You know, he's helping. It's a chessboard.
Every man has their own role. They have their own universe.
Correct.
That, you know, will guide the process.
But at the same time, each and every one of us needs to be subservient to something much greater than ourselves.
I know. Isn't that a relief?
It is.
Isn't it a relief?
You don't have to worry about everybody else's opinions. Or get swallowed up in their opinions.
And what God says is right is right, and what God says is wrong is wrong. And that's that should be our guiding line.
Correct. So that in general, from, yeah. is there? I mean, we can sit back and go back to Noach and then look at Shem, Ham, and Yafet and say, well, where did the Indians come from and where did the Egyptians come from and where did the Canaanites come from and where did these people? You can actually dissect it a lot more.
Yeah.
But on a general viewpoint, we have the three worlds. And those two worlds, Yishmael and Esav, Ishmael and Esav, the, representing the Arab world and the Christian world, has to come back to God as well in our redemptive process.
You know what's so funny is that yesterday there was a story in the news. The University of Basel in Switzerland, they have traced back the genes genetically and the DNA of every single human being came from one couple 100,000 years ago, one male and one female.
Okay, so they're out a little bit on their timing, 100,000, 5,000, okay. There's a statistical differentiation there.
What do you think the couple's name was?
I don't know. Let me just think.
All right, we're taking your suggestions and your guesses. 3, 4, 5, 1, 9. Adel Kozelski, thank you so much.